Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Optics in Action. And I am honored to have today Brian Wagner. He's a co-founder and principal at PTIS, and he has been an incredible mentor for me. I don't know for how many years now, but 10 plus years, probably maybe longer than that. And so I'm excited to have you on this episode, Brian, where we can chat about people, process, and packaging, which is your area of focus. So welcome to the episode. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brian.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And when you call me a mentor, you're also a mentor to me, because everybody I've ever mentored has taught me so much. And I really appreciate that. So, I have a degree in packaging from Michigan State University. I met my wife there for just over 40 years ago. And this thing called packaging and the degree is taking me all over the world and allowed me to meet great people like you. In a hotel, at a trade show in a hotel lobby, as I recall, all those many, many years ago. And after working several corporate jobs, big companies and small, I think there were seven of those in 17 years, my partner, Mike Richman, and I set out on our own and started PTIS, and we're now in our 24th year.
That's incredible. And I will say, I mean, you were such an inspiration to me. And I remember when I moved, I was living in the Philippines. I was moving back to the States and I reached out to you and you didn't get back to me for a little while. But when you did, you were like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what you're, you know, what you're looking for. And I'm like, you know what? I want to talk about what does it look like to leave a corporate role, right? Similar to you, I'd been all over the world and it's like, leave a corporate role and start consulting. And what does that look like? And you invited me out to your house. And so, I mean, you are the mentor who helped me navigate those things. I came out, spent a weekend with you, walked through the business plan and just learned so much from you and was so inspired by you. So I am sure our audience is going to get some great stuff out of this discussion.
And that was a great weekend. Oh my gosh.
I had a ton of fun and I've learned so much on this journey. I mean, it's been almost 10 years for me now. And
wow.
There's a lot of learnings that happened throughout the course of that journey. So what inspired you? Like, why did you go into packaging and why consulting? Why PTIS? Give us a little bit of your purpose and background around this.
You know, like so many things, it wasn't designed. If I would have set out to do what I'm doing, I could never have made up the story. My father back in Buffalo, New York, had a little one-person insurance agency, and he was so excited to send me to Michigan State. My parents didn't go to college. I'm first generation, but he shared an office with an old friend who fought in World War II with him and ended up after World War II playing baseball at Michigan State. So that was kind of my college influence, and I ended up there. And I was going to study business to end up in the insurance business with my dad. And I got into accounting and I didn't like it. And little companies like his were being swallowed by big companies. And he said, you better find something else. And I took a self-graded test that said that I'd be good at architecture, sales, and packaging. And I didn't even know what packaging was, but the economy was terrible in the Midwest in particular. And I went over to packaging, all my credits transferred, and I got into this thing. And it was such a great blend of business and strategy and communications, marketing, and a bit of technical as well. And I ended up interning with IBM. I worked for other great companies on the food side of the world, packaging manufacturers. I did package development, package innovation. I sold packaging. I learned marketing. It's incredible. And a lot of people transfer into packaging from other places, like accounting or business, like engineering. A lot of folks who don't want to go like really deep technical only, and they want something applied, end up there. And so now I've been at it since 1983, basically. And as I mentioned earlier, it's taken me all over the world. It's been so cool and allowed me to do so many great things. Flash forward from my 1983 story, I worked for seven companies, big and small, and I tried a couple different consulting things with people on a moonlighting basis through those years. Learned from them, they failed, right? Everybody says entrepreneurs fail a lot and sometimes fail their way to success. I would tell most people, try the moonlighting thing, but it's tough to make it work because you're full-time working.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity with my partner, Mike Richmond, to leave the Kellogg Company in the end of 2000. And we said, well, what are we going to do? And I realized then the thing I wanted to do was run my own company. My dad worked 6 days a week. We went out and started consulting. I loved working 6, 7 days a week. I was passionate because it was my thing.
Yeah. Well, I learned something new about you today, even though we've known each other for 10 years and you've been a mentor for 10 years. I didn't know that your father had an insurance agency. That's actually, my father had the same, and my father did not go to college, and he was excited for me to go to college, and all of
Yeah.
the, so we have another commonality there. And
That's crazy.
yeah, so I went into
Yeah.
chemistry and sort of just by default got into packaging by getting into adhesives, and the it was just unbelievable the variety of adhesives and packages out there and how all these things relate together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you were in such a cool area too. It was such a great innovation that, nobody looking at a store shelf would imagine what you were doing.
Yeah,
But it's
at
kind
the
of
time
one of
when I
those
met you,
really
yeah.
cool, unique innovations in the world of packaging.
Yeah. It is incredibly eye-opening. And so the other thing that you and your partner and your team do is you talk a lot about the future of packaging. And I think so there's this
Yeah.
technical component of packaging, right? The actual technical parts of the adhesive and the structure and all of those types of things, how it's produced, the process stuff. There's also this people side that you've really embraced around the future and innovating in packaging. Tell us a little bit about that. What's that look like?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Packaging means a lot of things to a lot of people. So, it could be a packaging department. It could be a technical thing. It could be consumer related. And when I was at Kellogg's, my last corporate job, we learned an awful lot of, a lot about consumer insight for design. And it was also during that time that we were part of a future of packaging study that I think 15 companies participated in for a year and a half. And I was the lead for Kellogg's on that, working with a group of futurists from Washington, D.C. And it was a cool process. And it was only a few years later we started our company in 2004, started the future of packaging, which a guy named Andy Hines was our futurist. He now leads the Foresight program, the futurist program at University of Houston. And I was certified as a futurist last year. I love it. And you'll learn a lot about, kind of nobody predicts the future. But we can look out 10 and 20 years at global megatrends, consumer technology, laws and regulations, sustainability, and what might that world look like? And then bring it back to what might that mean for packaging today for our corporate sponsors of the program, and help them build a roadmap betting on some future scenarios, a range of them. And
Yeah.
so Foresight, kind of consumer insight 24 years ago, was the differentiator for PTIS. No consultancy went after that. They're mostly technical in our field. We've evolved to where we still know more about that than anybody, but Foresight is our total differentiator. We're the only strategic consultant in the packaging space who knows the industry. We work across what we call the value chain, the material suppliers, converters of packaging, brand owners, co-packers, retailers, consumer. they're all our clients, and we work with the top universities. And focusing on the future really differentiates us versus anybody, everybody who's looking at the past and looking at the present. That's what most of us know.
Yeah.
And so we look backwards to look forwards. You got to do that. But we have, and not predicted, but we have anticipated a number of things well ahead of anybody else, like this thing called sustainability that's such a big driver in the world today. We saw it coming a couple of years in advance and helped our companies to place their bets in the right places.
Yeah, it's incredible. Just knowing you for as long as I have, looking at the things, the insights, the vision that you've created around some of these things. What are some of those things? What are some of those mega trends that you're seeing today that, as people look out over the next 10 years, you think will transform it again? And, you know, like you said, sustainability. When I first met you, we were doing a sustainability project and collaborated on some things. What are some of the mega trends today that you think are going to form that next 10 to 20 years in the packaging industry?
Yeah, the biggest thing impacting everybody is generative artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, that's now, a year and a half old, just changing the way we live, the way we work. It's so many of those things. Now, what's cool, and also, I mean, circular economy, it's not going to be long. There's going to be another 50 million people on the face of this earth. We don't have resources to take care of ourselves. So we need to think in a circular fashion, designed for end of use, to reuse things. Those are big ones. Industry 4.0 and leveraging new technology to make things, 3D printing. There's just so much. It's such a great time. E-commerce has changed the way we get things delivered. And because of that, we need to innovate, because it's like too expensive compared to shipping truckloads of stuff to Walmart. So the industry is innovating, new materials and so on. One of the fun things is, looking back to 2009, I interviewed a really smart guy from my early career. He was doing a lot of work in Palo Alto at Stanford in their innovation center. And I asked him what the future of consumer insight would be, because that was his specialty when he retired. And he said, I don't know, but I can tell you about some cool things that are happening that, if you start to connect some dots, will continue to happen. And we're still in the process, but it was advanced computer speed. It's going to continue to double. Moore's Law, it's going to continue to double and double and double. And when it quits doubling, we're going to have the next generation of quantum computing, whatever it is, that's going to continue. They were talking about wearables. So wearables being an Apple Watch. This is 2009. Wearables being a device that monitors your heart rate and other things. There was a trend kind of happening of people wanted to know about themselves. They wanted to be self-informed. Well, you connect that just with those three things and think about the Apple Watch and our heart rate and a number of other things. And there was many, many other things that he pointed out, and we started to piece together for the future. Even earlier in the 1990s, they talked about fMRI, so magnetic resonance imaging that we all know now from the health field. fMRI looks at our brain and can monitor when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're elated, whatever it might be. And the futurists told us back in 1997 or 98, imagine using that in consumer research, and we can now look at a package and, based on a number of elements of the design, the brand, the structure, the graphic, we can tell what a person is thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in the 1990s. And about 15, 20 years later, it was being used for that in research, market research. I mean, so going back to your question, I almost have to look backwards to look at what we were talking about then that's happening.
Well, I'll tell you,
artificial intelligence.
Yeah, one of the things that strikes me about what you're talking about, you were the first person, like individual, that I talked to you You were doing some stuff and talking about IBM Watson, and you
Oh,
were doing
yeah.
some type of project or something. And I was like, I'd read a little bit about it, but you were talking about AI before anybody else that I knew in my life personally, talking about machine learning and these types of things. And so that's why I said I find it so fascinating talking to you. It's like you can hear, you can read about these things, you can hear about these things, but when you know people who are actually involved in it and integrated in it, and there's one thing, I was at a presentation probably about the time I met you, where this gentleman was a futurist and he's standing up there talking about the future, and he put up a picture of a mechanical typewriter. And he said, "How many of you see this as innovation?" And we were all old, older at the time. And we're like, "Not really." He said, "A group of third graders was given a mechanical typewriter, and they said, 'Wow, it's a computer that prints when I type and never runs out of batteries.'" And so when you look at the past,
Incredible.
like he was making this connection of look at the past, what are the problems that can be solved in this next generation of children who have to connect to Wi-Fi to their printers and use batteries die in their devices and all these things. And that was probably in 2010, somewhere in that range.
Sure.
And when I went to that presentation that you were talking about these things, I'm like, that was some real vision that you were seeing and working on.
There are some experts that I've read about, I've listened to, that say that almost anything we're doing, we can think about doing it faster and doing it smaller, less material and speed. And so as I think about packaging, what can we do to use less packaging to, I mean, one of the biggest problems in the world is food waste, and packaging is one of the solutions to food waste. How do we do it? I mean, packaging is typically looked at as an enemy. It's litter, it's waste. I get all done with the thing I meant to buy, my bottle of water, and I'm left with an empty plastic bottle. But the truth is, I believe packaging can be the real hero in solving a lot of the problems that are out there. And there's so much work being done right now in reusing packaging. You know, a water bottle is probably a bad example, except that most of us have refillable water bottles. And companies like Starbucks are trialing ways to reuse packaging. And so there will be more and more innovation. I wish I could imagine what that next thing is, but it's happening. And generative AI, Gen AI, is going to help solve those problems.
There is no doubt that leveraging technology to improve humanity, essentially, right? Improve our lives, whether it's, the circular economy and packaging or in other ways, leveraging that in the right way can have huge benefits for all of us. So that's exciting. I'm going to be interested as we continue looking at the next 10 years, how some of these things keep evolving, especially in the packaging world. It means so many things to so many people, like you said. What are the biggest people challenges that you find in the packaging industry, or in your experience, as you think about working with people and end use customers, organizations, those types of things? You've got technology, you've got the packaging itself, you've got the people. What do you find in working with people and change management, or kind of getting them to see the future and start going in that direction?
Not everybody's good at seeing the future or even appreciating it. It's kind of hard. We work with really smart people, professors, some of the top professors who are great at looking at today and the past. And when we say, imagine 10 or 20 years from now, what's it going to look like? They go silent. So that's kind of a side comment, because as you were asking the question, I was thinking about bringing it back to you and the great work you do with people and process. There's a whole lot of complexity in the world. And as a human being trying to find a solution to a very complex problem or multiple very complex problems is really difficult. Trying to do that without a process in place makes it even more challenging. leveraging technology and putting processes in place, as I know you do and we do, kind of helps that process. And step one, two, three, and then plug in the elements in to get things solved. I think back to you and our time talking about leaving corporate America to go out on your own. And I think I mentioned to you when I left Kellogg's in the security of a big corporate job, I had no fear. It was just, I knew I was going to do something I wanted to do. And we had a process. We had a really simple business plan with some milestones. And I think this is what we talked about. It's, you know what, it doesn't have to be perfect, but have some goals, have a vision for what you're going to be in year three, then two, then one, then nine, six, 3 months. How do you get started? And not allowing today to get in the way of it because you're focused on a 3 to 5 year vision. There's a people process thing there that's really important. And I do a lot of mentoring and coaching, as I think you know. And I talk to a lot of people who want to make the jump. And as soon as they do, life gets in the way. They have another baby, they whatever the heck it is in their life, it gets in the way, and they're not thinking out far enough. And I think that's a problem with a lot of folks. And 90 some percent of people, I think research shows, don't like change. I'm one of the small percentage who loves change. And as you know, I'm not the guy, not the person to develop the process. I'm more about the vision, but I know myself at this point that that's not my talent. But I've got three partners in my business. Two of them are really detail and process focused. Thank goodness we have each other.
You've got to surround yourself with good people who challenge and support and have core strengths. And as my team has grown over the last year or two, it's really becoming more and more evident of the importance of some of that stuff. And I love what you shared about that. And I look back to that mentoring weekend that you and I had. And I know you've introduced me to some folks along the way that you've been mentoring as well. And the concepts that you gave me of, look out, you've got to look long term and you've got to do something you're passionate about and get excited about. And I've got a new book coming out later this year called Optics. And I think, it ties right into what you just talked about. There's two definitions of the word optics. One is the study of light. So you think about like focus and alignment and lasers and all these technical things you learned about in physics class. The second definition of the word optics is the perceptions of people. And I think it's so fascinating when we think about optics, right? The optics of a situation, the study of light, like you've got these technical processes, you've got these technical things that need to happen. And the packaging industry can only move as fast as the technical elements are able to come together to support that. But then you've got the perceptions of people and the vision of the future and pushing people to develop those technologies and move those forward. And I think that parallel path of people and process is what gets me up and gets me excited every morning. And so I'm forever grateful, Brian, for the coaching and advice you gave me 10 plus years ago. On that weekend, so.
Well, in that optic definition that you gave, I'm thinking about I spent 2019, a friend of mine said, "Hey, what's your word for the year?" I've never had a year word for the year in my life. And I didn't come up with a word, but I focused the entire 12 months on not judging people by my standards, accepting everybody for their differences and what they are and who they are. And it feels like that's a lot about optics and appreciating their differences and how do I take that difference and become stronger or solve a problem that's stronger. It's I love that.
You've got to have these different perspectives. If you don't have futurists and you don't have scientists coming together to make the world a better place, you're going to stay stuck on the hamster wheel. And
Yeah,
I'm forever grateful
absolutely.
that you helped me to make a change the way you did. So.
You know me, pay it forward. Pay it forward, Ryan. You're welcome and pay it forward.
That's right. Well, hey, it's been awesome having you on this episode of Optics in Action. And I'm going to be sharing this out to our audience to keep getting great people connected with you and connecting you with great people. How do people get in contact with you or learn more about the future of packaging and PTIS and learn about you? What's the best way for people to get in contact with you to learn more if they're interested?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. Probably the simplest way is Brian at PTISglobal.com. And yeah, that email, I mean, they can have my phone number. It's all on the website. I'm the contact for the company on our website, which is PTISglobal.com. But contact me directly. I love to talk, love to meet new people and get to know them.
You are an amazing connector and mentor. Appreciate the time today, Brian. And thank you again for being on this episode. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.